And welcome once again to the Lunch Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour, brought to you by the Lunch Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LunchMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa News of PapaNews.com in Columbus, Nebraska, and in just a moment we'll be joined by our co-host, Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California, and special co-host, Ora LaForce of OraLaForce.com in Quebec, Canada. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Extended Readers and Reworkers, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. As afterwards, he will take our calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about wealth, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American programming practices of voodoo, conjuring, or rework, as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual leaders of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening to studying this question from a month ago. Find out at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and call into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjurman Ali and Ora LaForce. Conjurman Ali?
Thanks, Papa News. As you can all tell by the sound of my voice, I'm definitely not Miss Cat. July has been a month where Cat and I seem to be, other than 1 week, we have not been on together at the same time as that week was last week. So hopefully this will be slightly different, but I am very glad to welcome as our special host, Ora, who is a regular on the show. Welcome, glad to have you on. Ora is a fan favorite here on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, so we're very glad to have her on. Miss Cat is currently away with her doing what she called art, and I would agree. Is anyone else hearing feedback, or is that just me?
Feedback.
Yeah, someone sounds a little...
I think it's gone now.
Yeah, okay, it's gone now, so that's good. Okay, good. So I will be manning the board, and hopefully it all goes smoothly. Let's see how it goes. But I'm joined by two wonderful people, so this should be a great show. And we're very excited to have everyone here and to get to our great topic today, as well as do some readings. And then hopefully we'll have the lovely Miss Cat back next week. Let's start off with just a quick roundup of how everything is going on. I have been quite busy this summer, this entire summer, with root work, while also doing some traveling and research for my day job as a historian. It's been an interesting summer, lots of reconciliation cases and lots of court cases. Both types of work tend to be quite draining because they take a lot of attention. It's not something that you can do over a couple of days and then set it, forget it, walk away. It's very much work that is involves quite a bit of, you know, dynamism. You need to be able to change, you need to be able to adapt, you need to be able to take on new information and then take a different approach. So it has been quite a bit of, quite a busy summer, but it has been a fantastic summer with lots of rewards. Results. Let's check in and see how, the news for me and nothing else, nothing too exciting to report. Let's check in with Ora and see how she's doing. It looks like we're still having some technical problems, so bear with us.
Like you, it has been a very, very busy root work summer. I've had a number of very interesting love cases, quite a bit of marriage work, and a lot of prosperity work. So it's been ongoing as well, and very, very interesting clients. I consider myself very, very privileged to have the clients that I do, and between that and the garden, today was another pound of turnip greens, another batch of fermented turnip, and about 20 cups of blueberries in the freezer. So very busy, both in garden and in root work.
You know, for those that may be kind of unfamiliar with your work, or would it be accurate to say that you are really kind of our resident homeopath, healer, herbalist, both in air and as one of our guests?
I don't use homeopathy, but I do use herbalism extensively. So herbs, I actually came to root work through herbalism, which is where I started.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I worked with the plants, the more I spent time with them, the more they talked to me. And I realized that they really were very powerful as spirits, as well as food, as well as medicine. And it was completely natural to start using them in a more magical manner to affect change
mm-hmm.
in a person's life, both internally and externally. So it's been an amazing learning experience, getting to work with Miss Kat, who is also a very skilled herbalist, for those who don't know. It was fabulous, and I can't wait to get back to California to chat herbs with her again.
And you have a wonderful book out that covers quite a bit about this, especially when it comes from the aspect of cleansing and bathing. So people should definitely check that out. Additionally, you are also, many of the topics that you bring to the radio show when you are a guest, and not as a co-host, often revolve around herbs. We've talked about teas together. We've talked about various subjects related to herbs and roots themselves, really going back to the root, if you'll pardon the pun, of what we do. People should definitely check out some of our previous broadcasts to hear what Aura has to say about that and learn. I know that every time you come on, I learn something new. Well, I also work with herbs in a healing fashion, making tinctures and teas. Definitely not to your level of skill and knowledge. So I always learn something when you come on. People should definitely check out the previous broadcast. They're all wonderful. Let's go ahead and bring on John St. Germain. Welcome, John. It has been a while since you've been on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, though you do have a show of your own on the network. So welcome. Glad to have you.
Oh, it's good to be here, talking about Ollie and Aura. Nice to meet you. Actually, Aura, I knew your book before I knew you. It's an excellent book. I think you're spiritual that. So it's nice to talk to you face to face.
Oh, thank you. You're an accomplished author yourself.
Thank you. Yeah, I've written a lot of books. Basically, I have a lot of insomnia, and when I can't sleep, I write. So enough insomnia. Which apparently I share with Professor Porterfield. He says he writes when he has insomnia. So,
it seems to be a common trait amongst writers, insomnia. A lot of writers that I've heard or know, they have some form of insomnia or are always up in the wee hours of the morning writing.
It's either that or watch late-night TV, watch infomercials at night. And it's a choice of two evils, so... insomnia.
Well, it's certainly a productive trait to have. What has been new in your corner of the world, John? How is your practice going? And what are some updates? Because we haven't had you on for a while, and I'm sure people are very interested in finding out.
Well, as you probably know, during the entire month of June was spent building the new chapel, Divine Harmony Spiritual Church, and the physical building now, and the chapel was complete, and I mean, I'm talking to you from the walls of that chapel, even as we speak, and pictures of it from the ground up, the whole process of building it can be seen on the Facebook page, Divine Harmony Spiritual Chapel, and you can also see the website, divineharmonyspiritualchurch.com, which also has pictures of the construction of the chapel. It's a small building. It's 10 by 20 feet and has a workshop in the back where I can make various spiritual products for sale. and plants. And the front part of it is the chapel where I do all my oud work and candle work. My candle service is filled with all my sacred and magical objects in my entire library, my entire spiritual library now. And it's a wonderful little space. I'm very happy.
Wonderful.
Very.
That is fantastic, fantastic news. For people who are not familiar with John St. Germain, obviously, you know, you can hear him regularly on the radio network, but also you're quite known for the work that you do with crystals and crystal balls. You've written about it as well, and you have also been on the show previously, and we've discussed quite a bit about your work with crystals. You also... talk about the various ways that you employ them, whether in healing and empowerment.
Yes.
Something else that you're quite well known for is empowering clients and helping them to get through. And most of the root work that you've, you know, prescribed on the radio show before has your very unique signature on that, working with crystals. So we very much look forward to hearing a little bit more about that as the show goes on. You've also presented a very great topic for today that is very much, I think, a John St. Germain topic. I'm like, ah, yes, this is very much him. And it matches the type of work that you do. And it is about life changes. And it's about, dealing with the changes that come up in your life. I think this is an empowering topic. It's a very interesting topic. And it's one that's very much related to the type of work that we do, helping people change, helping people help themselves change, and also dealing with the fact that life is never quite, it's not always the same, that there is change there, and how do we deal with that? So I'm going to turn this over to you. People are saying we still have a little bit of static. I do apologize. Hopefully we can get that cleared up. As it goes on, I think it may be from one of the people on here. Maybe we can mute and unmute as we talk, but we'll try to figure it out. But I'm going to turn this over to you, John, and hopefully you can talk a little bit about what you mean when you say life changes and how we deal with it from a root work perspective.
Well, certainly. Is it clear?
Yeah, it's clear.
Is it clear? Is it clear? Because I had an air conditioner going before we got on, and then I turned it off. It is loud in my little space here because it's sensitive space, but I turned it off, and so it's very quiet here now. So I'm not to blame for what is going on there. But we're talking about changes. The changes in life can either be changes you plan or changes that just hit you like a bus you're not watching for. So. Let's talk first about changes that we plan. So, first of all, you have to understand what you want to change and why you want to change it. Your motivation is very important in changes like this. So, if you understand, first of all, why you want to change something, that's very important. That is essential. Sometimes people just change things because they're bored, and that's not a good reason. Now, I'm talking about changing your hairdo, getting a tattoo, changing your clothes, and your furniture. That's minor, but if you're reinventing yourself, reinventing your life, why are you doing it? And boredom is not a good reason. This usually, you have to look at why you're doing it. And I found over the years, talking to people and counseling them, doing readings for them, spiritual work, this falls into a very limited number of categories. Usually people are falling into a rut. They're doing the same thing every day, and it's lost its flavor. It's lost its appeal. It's like old bubble gum. You chew it so long, it just loses its flavor. And they've just done the same thing every day for years. The job is the same thing every day. The relationship is the same thing. They're having the same arguments, the same lovemaking, the same day in and day out routine, and the death lost its entire appeal. Sometimes people are just unhappy. They just don't have any happiness. And now the thing is, unhappiness is not necessarily a bad thing. Unhappiness is a good motivator. If we hadn't been unhappy living in caves, we never would have invented houses. So unhappiness is not a bad thing if we understand why we're unhappy. Sometimes people are unhappy, but in life, they just have a vague unhappiness, and you can't put a reason for it, and there's nothing you can do about it. But sometimes people are just unhappy, and they know they have to change something. So again, why? Why are you unhappy? And then there's another reason, and this is a beautiful reason. You're inspired. You're inspired. You have a vision, and you want to bring this vision into reality. Not be a business. You think, you know, I'm going to start a business. There's this wonderful thing I want to do. I want to start a business and sell things. And there's nothing more satisfying than selling things that you have created. And, you know, something that is of yourself that you have created and brought into the world. Art. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're a craftsman. Maybe you just want to bring together a unique assortment of different items and have kind of a wacky shop and to sell these items that appeal to you. So these are various reasons why you want to implement changes. Now, once you've decided to change, you have to plan the steps necessary to make the changes. I call those micro changes. And then you have to implement
micro changes
in steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, micro changes. Because you don't want to make the big change all at once, like a tsunami. It'll overwhelm you. There's a thing going on in everybody's life. I mean, changes occur. You know, tomorrow is not going to be like today. So these micro changes occur anyway. Change is inevitable. And adapting to these changes is something we do anyway. So after you do these changes, you have to adapt. So we have to adapt to the new changes. And we have a certain tolerance level for the changes that occur anyway in our life. So when we make these micro changes, we're disrupting that flow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a degree of discomfort. Even positive changes cause stress. We know this.
Interesting.
Even positive changes. Yeah, psychologists will tell you even positive changes will cause stress. The body reacts the same way to a positive change as it does a negative change.
I'm curious, what kind of products do you suggest to clients when they're in that process of making micro changes and there is a fair amount of discomfort and they're not certain about how to go about it? They may not even be certain of what they want to change. So what type of root work would you prescribe to a client when they're in that situation and they're moving slowly towards something new?
You mean if they don't know what they want to change, they have a restless feeling that they know they need to change something, but they don't know what it is? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like exactly. They know they need to change. Mm. They need to clarify what it is they want to change. Would it be something like, let's say, clarity products? I tend to work with Bailey's a lot in that type of situation.
Yeah.
King Solomon Wisdom? That's an awesome one.
Yeah, King Solomon. I love King Solomon. I've been recommending that for a lot of my clients when they're in a situation and they know they need to change it, and maybe they need to get out of it. They need to do something, and they're not quite sure what. And I don't want to tell them what to do. I don't want to say, okay, you need to do this. Because I know that they know what to do. They have several options in front of them. And I know that they know one of those options is right for them, but I'm not going to tell them. It's not my job, really, to tell them what to do. But they need to make a decision, and they're locked on the horns of this dilemma between two equally attractive options or unattractive options. They're just paralyzed, and they can't make the change. And I recommend King Solomon. And clarity work is good. I like to do them both. Here's clarity and King Solomon work. And King Solomon is a wonderful work, and I didn't use it that much many years ago. I think that if you don't want to be many readers are very much they're maternal or paternal. They become the person's mother or father, and they say, "Here's what you need to do." My mother was that way. My mother was a Virgo, and she stopped reading when she was about my age, in her 50s. She just stopped doing reading. But I said, "Mom, why'd you quit?" She goes, "I'm tired of telling people what to do and they won't do it." And I said, "Mom, you can't do that." I said, "You give people advice, and it's like giving someone a gift. You can't give someone a gift and tell them what to do with it." And I thought, well, that's exactly what Mom used to do. And she goes, "What?" to. I don't see things that way. But if someone asks me what to do, and I tell them they need to do it, and I say, well, you give someone a gift. You know, they may wear it. They may throw it away. They may put it in the closet and never use it. Mind you, no. If I tell someone what to do, they better do it. So, you know, so a lot of readers are that way, though. Now they say, you know, here's what you need to do. You need to do this. So you know, what I do is play out different options. I say, well, here's some things you can do. Now, these are the, you know, I think people have a tangled mess. And in engineering, there's a concept called the through line. And the through line is when you have, what's the simplest way through that mess? You know, what's the simplest way from here to there? What's the simplest solution? It's called the through line. And I say, well, no, your simplest through lines are these. Here, you know, here's the option. And then, you know, what sounds best to you? And usually the client, you know, the person, the questioner will say, oh, yeah, you know, because they know, you know, in their heart, they know what is the best for them. And King Solomon will often bring that out. And sometimes clarity is very good. But, man, I love King Solomon. And sometimes you can do it with psychic vision so that they'll have a dream that gives them an answer. Products like this, these are wonderful, wonderful products. That's a very good question.
Once that need has been determined, and once the kind of King Solomon clarity work has come to fruit, and the person has looked at the options, has looked at the free line and decided where they're going to go, and has broken it down into manageable little bites, little baby steps, what would be useful at the micro
changes? Well, we have, again, we have different steps. Where are they going? Are they starting a business? Are they leaving a bad relationship? Are they leaving a small city to go to a bigger city to seek their fortune? You know, so it depends. You have to tailor it.
If we don't look at the steps specifically, you mentioned that no matter what change it was, there was going to be discomfort. How would you mitigate that discomfort level?
I think there would be a... I know it's going to sound funny, but I would use an off-label use for safe travel.
An off-label use for safe travel.
It's off-label, but you're looking at a spiritual journey, and I would combine whatever work I'm doing. You know, let's say they're leaving a relationship. I would kind of talk to them to see how afraid they are. You know, if they're really timid, you know, you've got peaceful courage and safe travel. If they're courageous, but you know, let's say they're courageous and that they're kind of codependent in a relationship, you might do a cut and clear and safe travel. I know it's off label, but I found it's really good in making transitions.
That's really interesting.
There's a lot you've said here that I want to really kind of touch on. And I think one of the important things, first, we're seeing a very clear theme. You act as the person who empowers the client. And you say that you want to guide them rather than tell them what to do. That's very much an empowering act. The decision, you're recognizing the agency of your client. Secondly, you're also helping them make sustainable changes. When you do micro changes or things that are approach change in a manageable way, or in the chat room said baby thing, I think that's actually sustainable change. When you make big changes in your life, you tend to kind of, once the change happens, you may stick with it. Eventually you can regress or you fall back because big changes are kind of hard to deal with, or they're kind of overwhelming, or it's not easy to kind of sustain. And I think a good example of this is for example, dieting, right? I have clients talking about health.
When you
make big kind of changes to your diet or your health regime, they're often very hard to handle. But if you start making smaller changes that build up towards a bigger lifestyle change, it is much more manageable, and it tends to be more lasting than it does like the kind of big change that most people think about. I also, you mentioned some products, and Aura said, how do you manage discomfort? And I think the key word there is kind of the managing of it, right, or mitigating it. Because discomfort doesn't go away. Change is not going to happen without a discomfort of some level, right? In the same way that whenever you deal with something new, there is going to be fear then. The difference between courage and fear is that the fear doesn't control you. The same thing with changes. The discomfort may be there, but it's no longer a hindrance to that change, which is why for me, I deal with things like Crucible of Courage, John the Conqueror, which can help to not remove the discomfort, because the discomfort may very well be there, but it empowers the client so that they can overcome it. They recognize that the discomfort is there, but they don't allow the discomfort to stop them, to keep them from actually making the type of changes in their life that they want to make. Or what about you? What are some of the products or techniques that you use to help people with micro changes and to help with the kind of discomfort that comes with that?
I tend to actually be big on spiritual baths. Surprise, given the book that I write. I find that bathing kind of helps wash away a lot of the doubt that tends to come about. It also helps to maintain a sense of cleansing, and it helps with tranquility. A bluing bath, a baking soda bath, salt bath, those are all, I like minerals when somebody has discomfort. They're very grounding. So they help us connect to our deep-seated knowledge that John was talking about, how the knowledge is within, but we need to be grounded to be able to feel and see that. I love Power product line. For women, I find having a whole Angelica root or a whole Queen Elizabeth root as a pocket piece. For men, a Sang root, that's ginseng root for those who aren't familiar, or having a John the Conqueror root as a pocket piece is very grounding as well. Those are things that I would tend to suggest, because a pocket piece can be fingered whenever you're feeling the stress. If somebody's quitting smoking, it's something that they can hold in their hand. If you're getting rid of a bad habit, you start feeling tight, you take out your pocket piece, you work with it. So it's something that acts as a constant reminder. I really enjoy working with whole roots to help mitigate that discomfort. And reminding people that it takes time. Change does not happen quickly. Generally, when someone learns a new behavior, until it's internalized, it's about 3 years. The biggest bump is over in 30 days, but it's going to take about 3 years until it's completely second nature to the soul. So reminding people that in that period, it will be a bit of a roller coaster, and to keep their pocket pieces for at least those 3 years. Even if they're not using it anymore, keep it in your purse. Keep it in your man bag, keep it in your wallet, so that you always have it. If they're working with money, it would be a billfold piece. So depending on what the situation is, something tailored to the specific need of the person. John mentioned, and I think that was really wise, how the approach will depend a lot on what needs to be changed. So the type of approach to mitigation of discomfort consequently will also change. But I find that, I really like tactile pieces. What do you do, John, to take care of that discomfort?
I just want to mention that the tactile piece is a very, very smart tactic. Not only is it a good way to build the type of energy, but it also becomes a physical reminder of where you want to kind of end up. So that's fantastic. Go ahead, John.
To help with discomfort, well, discomfort is natural. We say in Buddhism that suffering is inevitable, pain is optional. So it's really a matter of understanding that when you set a goal and you make changes, that there's going to be an adjustment period. So as I'm helping guide someone through changes, one of the things I advise them to do is get an onyx and obsidian crystal ball. And I tell them when the stress and doubt and fear get to be too much, they're projected into the black crystal ball. and then take it out and shake it out. And I say, there's two ways to do this. You can take it outside and shake it out, or you can take it and tap it against the tree and give that negative energy to a tree. And I say, when you make a change, and this is a rule of nature, reality resists change. And this is part of the Tomlin teaching, Walker's teaching. Reality resists change. There's resistance whenever you try to change the reality, and that includes your own reality. The ego resists change. So there's no stress and tension. That's inevitable. And the obsidian sphere is very good. You hold it in your hand, and you just give it all that stress and shake it out somewhere. That is a very practical thing to do. I have a couple of my clients, but man, one of them told me the other day, my client said, he said he'd take the obsidian sphere to bed with him. And so that's a wonderful thing to do. And incense, I swear by incense. I think people should do more incense. Get a tranquility incense, and smoke your hands in it, and put your hands over your face, and pray for tranquility. You know, you say, great, whoever you pray to, great spirit, God, goddess, grant me the tranquility to adjust through this change. And you can say the serenity prayer. You grant me the courage to accept the things I cannot change. The serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So you smoke your hands in it and put your hands over your face. And I swear by that. But, you know, prosperity, you smoke your hands, cover your face, pray for prosperity. It's just a simple little ritual. You bless your hands and you bless your face in the incense. But tranquility incense is the one I would recommend for that. I love that.
I think it's fantastic, and your mention of incense is great. I hadn't considered the use of smoking your hands, and that's fantastic. I think we should also mention that it's, you know, mitigating discomfort is important when it comes to change, but the end goal of the change itself shouldn't be forgotten, right? The discomfort is going to be there, and there are ways of kind of dealing with it and mitigating it and bringing some tranquility, but the focus should always be on the actual end goal, right? So a good way of doing this for me is building an altar, right, where you actually put physical representations of what you want to accomplish there so you can recognize it. Now, some people do this not in the form of altars, but they do it very much out of the tradition of kind of new thought kind of affirmative prayer and law of attraction style by creating a vision board of some sort. But in traditional practices of voodoo, building an altar that acts as a kind of site to bring about change is really powerful. And I've mentioned this before, is if you create, now obviously we use the word altar in an anthropological fashion, because most of the people I grew up with wouldn't call what they had an altar. And the people that taught me, they don't recognize it. So it was just a space they did that stuff, their work. But for example, let's say you wanted to move, right? You create an altar where you have actual pictures of the place you want to move to. You have images of it, you have maps, all these different things there. What that does is that creates not only a visual, an ability to visualize that change, but you'll also be able to work towards that via magic and conjure. Every time you light a candle there, every time you say a prayer there, every time you do some incense work on the altar, that's adding incremental power, bit by bit, building up until you achieve that goal. And you can put the smaller steps on the altar as well. A great way of doing this is maybe placing on the backdrop, in a frame on the wall, the end goal, and then on the altar having all the various small steps that lead up to it. And you can work it in that fashion. A moving candle spell. I knew I had a student where they would move their candle bit by bit closer to that physical representation of their end goal. Aura or John, either of you, do you either work with altars in that fashion?
I have ongoing altars, yeah. And John, do you? Because I know that I have a number of different altars for different goals and different places where I'm headed or where clients are headed?
Well, I encourage my clients to make a vision board, which I suppose is something like this. I have a lot of clients that are in sales, and I do more business and sales work. I don't know if you have the same thing. I do more dolls for boss work and love work, and more work for business and prosperity than I do for love. This seems to be the big thing now. I was surprised. I thought, man, I'm going to be doing a lot of love work. It's mostly people trying to get ahead in business. And so I encourage my clients to make a vision board and put their goals on it. You put the car on it, the house, the money, whatever it represents, the promotion, and to do work around that. So, burn candles around it and pray over the vision board. So that is, I guess, a form of all of it. A very simple thing, and I have some more advanced people that I'm coaching who are building ancestor altars, and I tell them, you can't have better advocates for your life than your ancestors. They're going to be the most potent tools and the most potent advocates for you, and I ask them to pray to their ancestors to help them make the positive changes and to help them bring in what already belongs to them. New thought was leaving the universe, the divine mind. It already has stuff waiting for you. And I think your ancestors can help you get that, help bring it in.
Oh, yeah. So, very good point.
Yeah, so I help people do this. If they ask your ancestors, if you have trouble bringing it in, if you have hardwired self-doubt, we'll talk about hardwiring in a minute. Hardwired self-doubt that is standing in the way, get your ancestors to work on it. Say, I know my love is out there. I know my money is out there. I know my ideal job is out there. But you have this hardwired self-doubt that's standing in the way. Doubt will kill you. Get your ancestors. They believe in you. Get your ancestors out there and bring it in for you. So this is, get your ancestors an intervention for you between you and the divine mind. They believe in you. And get them to bring it in for you, and you won't believe how effective this is. There are people that tell me, I just don't think I can be love's not for me, success not for me. I said, get your ancestors on you, man. You'll be surprised how your mindset will change. Your ancestors can change your mind. They can turn you around. They work on you in your dreams and stuff. You have dreams. Your ancestors, they get through the dream gate and come to you. I'm just amazed at how it turned me around. My father started visiting me in my dreams and talking to me, talking man talk to me. It's amazing. It's amazing how that will turn me around.
I think that's fantastic. And a recognition that empowerment is not just something that comes from within, but is also something that comes from something greater than you, right? Whether you're praying to God or the ancestors, but that is also a form of empowerment. That is fantastic. Thank you for bringing us this topic. It was such an interesting topic. It was definitely, I think, something that many people needed to hear. And hopefully we can get you to come back and have a part two in that. We are still having some technical issues. There's a lot of static. Hopefully we can fix it as we go along. But we would like to move on now to our next caller or our next segment, which is people are calling in and getting readings. So, Papa New, why don't you lead us forward?
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour with your host, Countryman Ali, special co-host, Aura LaForce, and this week's special guest, John St. Germain. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at form.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the form, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We will be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 416 in Toronto. This is Jane. Jane, are you there?
Hi, yes.
Oh, welcome, hon. I see this is your first time calling in, so I do want to welcome you.
Yes. Thank you.
I do see that you haven't had any readings with Conchman Ali, Miss Cat, or anyone else on this particular situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And Jane writes, I'm dealing with a situation at work that seems to be getting worse. I work with a lot of toxic people who are constantly undermining me and throwing me under the bus. There is one male coworker in particular who I don't even speak to or interact with who is causing problems along with some other people. I also feel that someone at work is trying to deliberately damage my new car, key scratches, dents on the hood, and so forth. I'm looking for a new job, but need your help in dealing with these toxic people that are bullying me in the meantime. Turning it back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you, Papa Nu. Why don't we have the lovely Aura go ahead and do the first reading, stepping in for Ms. Cat, and then we'll go from there.
Oh,
so, Aura, if you can go ahead and give us some of your insight.
Okay. So, the three cards that I have on the work situation are the High Priestess, the Five of Cups, and the Eight of Cups. When you start with the High Priestess, I'm going to channel Miss Cat. It's the card that says, listen to your reader. It refers to a woman who has usually had children, somebody who is in the spiritual world, and somebody who has insight or information to bring you. The two cards concerning your situation specifically are the Five of Cups and the Eight of Cups. When there are two cups cards, or two of any suit cards, one after the other, it tends to indicate a transition in that world. And cups deal with perception, they deal with emotional states, they deal with where we're at this moment. The Five of Cups is a sense of loss, a sense of sorrow, and a sense of being very disappointed over the events that we are living right now. We almost believe that we've made the wrong choice and don't really know where to head from here. We feel bound by what's occurred and have a lot of difficulty looking at what we still do have and what is going right. Because the Five of Cups tells us there's still two cups behind the man if you're looking at the Rider-Waite deck. And those are still full, but the only thing that you can see are what has spilled. So the situation has become so untenable that you can't even see the positive in there at all. You can't even see where you want to go because it's so overly focused. You're so overly stuck in where it is right now. So this tells us that distance is required in order to move on. Distance is required in order to be able to make the right decision. The Eight of Cups shows somebody who's grown so weary that they are moving on. Yeah? Hello? So weary that they're moving on. They've realized that the cycle is over and they're going to abandon the situation and move forward and walk away. This type of situation requires planning, but when you see the transition from the Five to the Eight, it tells us that it really, at the current location, looking for other options is probably best advised. That's what my three cards have to say, although I am going to turn it over to John and see what his cards are going to be telling us about it.
Well, okay. We'll look at this. Well, I'm going to tell you that my cards are showing that there are some very, very interesting things going here. Okay, hang on. I called back in and I'm causing an echo, so let me see if I can mute this.
Okay. just bear with us, everyone. We're gonna get this all sorted.
There we go. Is that better?
Go ahead, say something.
Okay, test 1-2.
I think there's may still be an echo, but the good news is there's no static. We're headed in slightly right direction. You may still be connected via Skype as well.
Bingo. Gone?
There we go.
All right, that's what it was. Okay. I don't know how that could have possibly been because I took the microphone off. How's that, better?
You sound wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, then. Okay, I'm going to tell you that what I see is a woman who experienced a lot of, I'm using Lenormand, I'm seeing a woman who experienced a personal loss. And she seems to be the ringleader of a group of people. They're all on her side and against you. Now, she experienced a great deal, like a personal loss, and because of this, she's bitter, very bitter. And she seems to be the ringleader of a group of people. Her poison basically is leaking out and causing misery, and she spreads this misery, and she, for some reason, she's jealous of you or threatened by you, and so she's throwing this at you. This has clouded the entire workplace. This woman suffers greatly, and a lot of this suffering comes from what happened in her home life, some kind of bitterness or grief, some loss happened there. Does that make sense to you?
Is she older than I am?
I would say so, yeah. And you can tell that something bad happened to her. She lost someone, or some kind of grievous thing happened that caused her a great deal of pain, and she never got past it. Because I see the anchor, this is someone close to her due to the ring, the woman in the coffin in the cloud. So she probably if someone close to her, and
her husband died a couple years ago.
Yeah, and she never got past it. That's what the anchor and the cloud mean. She never got past it. And because the snake is here, she's biting everybody else. She's blaming everybody else. And if anyone's happy, she resents that. So she can't get past that. Now, there's a couple of things that could happen there. If she could get past that, then because she wasn't like that before. I think she depended on him heavily, and she leaned on him so heavily that it when he was gone, she was lost. She's just lost. She's a ship without an anchor. So she, if you're happier than she is, and I believe you may be, she resents that. So, and if you're more successful, and it seems like you're good at your job and you're content and everything, and it's not the job that's the problem with you, it's the people. So she's kind of leading a cadre. She's saying things about you and leading a cadre of people to try to undermine you. So there are things you can do. When we talk about what to do, there are things you can do. But I think that's what's happening there. She's filled with poison, and she's biting anybody who reminds her of the way she used to be. That's what I think is happening. that's kind of subterranean, but that's what's happening. That can be fixed. You know, that work can be done to help her move on. And, you know, actually, somebody would just talk to her about it. She had a confidant. She has nobody to talk to. You know, nobody she trusts to talk to with this. She's carrying this great pain in her heart, like a viper chewing at her heart. And that, you know, when that happens, you poison everybody else. And she's hanging out with very mean people.
Yeah.
You know, very mean and petty people. So that's what I think.
Thank you for that, John. That was fantastic. Have kind of an option here. You have a decision to make, and I think that's quite fitting with the topic of the show when it comes to changes. Because change starts first and foremost with a decision. You need to decide whether you are ready to move on and find a new job, because the environment has become very toxic. As John rightly pointed out, there is this individual here who's causing a problem. You've also noted that there's some other people, so a cadre, as John said, and they're making the work environment toxic. you can decide to leave at this point and say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this. Or you can try to stick it out and try to manage and mitigate this to the best of your abilities, and try to turn this person from someone who is hurting and lashing out into an ally. So you need to make a decision. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some root work that will help you either way, that will help to either give you time and help you, you know, not deal with this toxic situation until you move on, or give you the time you need in order to kind of mitigate the toxic environment. What I want you to do is work with Stop Gossip products. Ideally, if there's a group of people that are speaking about you, you can freeze them.
Yeah.
Now, freezing is a great way of working and keeping someone at bay. It's very different from hotfoot. Hotfoot is about driving people away, sending them far, far away. They can't hassle you anymore. However, with freezing, what happens is you remove their power. They're unable to act against you. So they may very well still be in your life. They may still very well be, you know, present, but they simply have no further power. And what I want you to do is I want you to take the names of these people, write them down on a piece of paper. You can also just write all the people gossiping about me, or all my enemies. You can give them a name of that sort or some type of title, or you can name them specifically. And you're going to write this on a piece of paper. You're going to then squeeze a lemon onto the piece of paper, put some salt on that paper, put some black pepper on that paper, put some alum on that paper, and you're going to place it in a empty water bottle. We all have different ways of working. Some people prefer to just wrap it up in aluminum foil. I actually prefer to put them in plastic water. Cat absolutely abhors putting things in plastic water bottles. But that's how I was taught, is actually to use the plastic water bottle. So you're going to put the piece of paper in there, fill it with some water, then fill it with some lemon juice. You can squeeze lemons right in that. You're going to close that up, wrap aluminum foil around this, and place it in a freezer. What this will do is it will freeze them, and they'll be unable to speak against you. Next, I want you to get some slippery elm. Slippery elm is fantastic for a situation like this. You are going to burn the slippery elm to ash as you recite Psalm 35, 37, and 91. You're going to take the ash and you're going to make a cross mark on your shoes, and you are going to wear your shoes to work. Now, that is going to help you to slip through the environment without anything sticking to you, without their words affecting you, without them being able to pin anything on you. It's a very powerful protective working that allows you to kind of slip through the toxic mess. As someone once explained to me, it allows you to work through filth while remaining pure yourself. So slippery elm is fantastic. And you can repeat that as many times as you want, right before you go to work or the night before you cross your shoes, put your shoes on the next day, go to work, and that will keep you safe. Finally, the third thing you want to do is get yourself peace water and sprinkle that around the office. You can do it in the bathrooms in particular, because everyone has to use the bathroom at some point. But it will help to bring the spiritual climate into a more harmonious place. These are three steps that I would recommend. Neither of them are lasting, though. This is not something for, you know, you do this and everything will be great. No, no, no. There's still a lot of issues at your work. What these three workings will do is they give you time. They protect you. They stop the people that are working against you. And then it's up to you to decide what you want to do next. If you want to stick there, if you want to stay there, then it's up to you to start doing honey jar work, sweetening work, bringing your bosses around to your side with the boss fix work, making allies out of some of these people. Or if they're impalpable enemies, they need to be sent far away with some hot foot work. If, on the other hand, it's a situation that is untenable, if you know yourself better, then you start doing work to find a new job. You start doing attraction work, something that helps you move on. What this does is it gives you the space you need to make the right decision for you and to start working towards the goal that you need to achieve. So that's what my recommendation is. I'm going to ask John St. Germain and Aura to see if they have anything further to add based off of the reading that they gave you. So go ahead, Aura or John. Would you add anything to the situation?
That's slippery elm. Yeah, that slippery elm spell. Wow, genius.
Oh, it's
what
one of my
I would say. It's great to help as well with colleagues. Is cooking for them sweets with cloves in it specifically. You want something that has clove in it and honey in it. Honey sweetens them. Cloves helps with friendship, but it also is a stop gossip herb. So you're literally feeding them stop gossip at that point.
Okay.
I'm going to turn it over to John to complete.
Well, also some works that I found effective when you're facing, you know, when you're alone facing a bunch of wicked people at work. Fear no evil is good, and cast off evil is good, and evil be gone is good for turning it around. Evil be gone turns it around on them. If they're spreading lies about you, it turns it back on them, and people see through it. They see that these lies are untrue, and they realize that the people telling them are prevaricators and dissemblers and wicked. So that one seems to be really effective. It's like a reversal. You know, they're telling things about you that aren't true, and people are believing it. This turns it around, and they don't believe it. They go, "Oh, you guys are just, you know, resentful, telling lies, a bunch of evildoers." So I found those really effective when there's somebody being piled on at work on a job situation. That happens frequently too. That seems to be a common situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, their situation is not the easiest, right? It requires quite a bit of decision making. So the only thing I can add further this is do some King Solomon's wisdom work. You can get the oil, light a candle that you've anointed with it. And I usually recommend for situations like this to light the candle at night and then go to bed and ask for wisdom. And then when you wake up, you'll know exactly what you need to do, because it is now it's come down to really making a decision on what
yeah, it is.
So light yourself that candle, do so, you know, get yourself some King Solomon wisdom, pray for wisdom, and then decide what you need to do, and then go forth and do it. Because the more you delay, the works that we've kind of given help and help to mitigate some of the trouble, but it's not going to be see cure-all, so to speak. It's not a panacea. It really is about stalling, giving you space and time so that you can make a decision. It's a tough situation. Changing jobs is not always easy, or sticking in a situation like this is not always easy. It's going to require quite a bit of work, but I think that you can do it. So the indications are all positive, and hopefully you have success. Just make sure you follow our instructions and make a decision. We have run out of time for this situation. Thank you very much for entrusting us with your situation, and hopefully we were able to help in some ways. Let's have Papa Newt come in and guide us on to our next segment.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. Our next client is calling from area code 626 in Los Angeles. This is Gia. Gia, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. And did I pronounce your name correctly, hon?
You did indeed. I didn't expect to get on. Thank you.
Welcome. Now, I do see here that that you have regularly consulted with Miss Aida. Now, have you consulted with her on this particular situation?
No, not at all. We were just doing some reconciliation stuff.
Oh, certainly, certainly. No, I had to adjust it, your situation for on-air readability. And she writes, for a long time, I've been very fearful of truly working on my business to make it successful and achieve financial freedom in my career as a beauty consultant for a cosmetic company. During a recent company seminar, I got some soil and rocks from the manufacturing plant and a business card of an extremely business sales director. I would love advice on the best spiritual work to be successful. Let me turn it back to you, Councilman Ali.
Thank you for that, Papa Nu. So you're looking for more of a device than you are a reading, if I understand you correctly. So you're looking for work in regards to your career. Is that correct?
Yes, or whatever you can offer. I have no idea what I'm looking for, but just
okay,
some
so
guidance
do,
and support.
Sure. Let's do some quick readings and then focus the bulk of the time on what specifically can be done. So I'll do your first reading, followed by John St. Germain, and we'll have Aura come in and give some suggestions, and then we'll go from there, just to see where things are going. So the first card that I have here is the Six of Pentacles. The Six of Pentacles shows us a merchant that is handing out, doling out coins to indigent people, to poor individuals, and he's holding some coins back. This is an indication that it's going to be slow moving, and then the money is going to come in, not exactly in a fast and solid flow, but it may at first be a bit of a pittance, and that there is some delay. There is someone of a position of power who has most of the power in the situation. This may be someone who is the hiring individual, or someone who handles paychecks or incomes or payroll or whatever it is, but you'll want to work on opening their hand, bringing some form of generosity, and bringing skills, bringing success and money your way. The next card that I have is the Eight of Pentacles. The Eight of Pentacles is starting at the bottom and working your way up. This is the apprentice, not the master mason. Here is a young individual working on golden coins, pentacles that he then picks up. It's very important to make sure that you have the successes that you've done in your past readily available. I often tell people that when I see this card, that they should make sure that their resume lists all their achievements and successes, and they're boldly and proudly displayed. And to be aware that it's going to take a while to reach the top, that you may have to work your way up, that it's not going to be, you're hired, here's this magnificent position, but that you're going to have to build relationships up, build up the success bit by bit until you reach the place that you want to reach. There's also a coin off to the side, which indicates that you may need to consider multiple streams of income or two streams of income. So you have one that is your main one that you work on and one that comes from the side. The final card that we have is the Hierophant. The Hierophant shows us a priest initiating two young acolytes. This is tells us that you will be brought into the broader organization, that you will start as an acolyte, but you will be well received if you can open up the generosity of that one individual that I see in the Six of Pentacles, and you follow the advice that we give you here, that you will be successful, that you'll be able to join the organization want to join. Also, prayer work is going to be very important here in appealing to a community of people who will help you achieve your goals. So the indications here are actually quite positive. They tell us that, yes, this is a situation where you can be successful. Yes, you can be assisted with the right types of work and the right approach. It's just about being patient. This is not a situation that's going to resolve itself real quickly. So I'm going to turn this over to John St. Germain and see if he can add anything further to this situation, and then we'll go from there and really start focusing on what you can do root work-wise.
Thank you, Councilman Ali. See, I'm going to tell you that I see the anchor, the snake, and the book, and this means that you're kind of stuck where you are, because I think that there's some fear that there's a rival or rivals who know more than you do, and that's got you afraid. More experienced rivals, or some maybe one in particular in your territory that you feel has drawn a line and you're afraid to cross it. Now, the second one is the child, the sun, and the tree. And this means that you have to do whatever everybody else is doing in your field. You've got to do something else. You've got to think of something that no one else is doing. And this means an innovative approach to your marketing. Whatever everybody else is doing, you've got to step back and start from the beginning and rebuild your marketing approach. The tree means slow growth. This means that you build up slowly from the foundation and try something new. The last one is the whip, the park, and the fish. And this is very, very indicative. You beat the park, you beat the bushes, basically, for new sources of income and revenue. Then over time, you build up a client base that no one has ever thought of before, new markets that no one has ever thought of before. The people that are doing it now are going after the obvious markets. This is telling me that you step back, you look at this with a fresh eye, you use innovative techniques and approaches, and you go after markets that no one has ever thought of before. And over time, you build up your income solidly and slowly. So this is going to take new ideas. So I would think you need to brainstorm with some people that are innovative and imaginative, and start writing down ideas, no matter how crazy they are. And I would suggest that before you go to bed at night, we're not doing work yet, but we'll do that in a minute. I got some suggestions for you.
Okay, good. Well, that's exactly what we want to hear. Let's go check in with Laura and see what suggestions she has, and then feel free to dive in right after, Benjamin.
Well, I'm going to turn you over to John for the before bed as soon as I'm done with two small altar pieces. Khandrahman Ali was talking about the importance of setting up an altar to what we want and building towards where we want to go. And these are two pieces that you can put together with what you've collected already. With the earth that you collected when you went to the seminar, I want you to find a narrow-necked bottle. A clear one or a colored one, it doesn't matter, but something that a candle will fit in nicely. And you're going to put that earth in there. You're going to put lucky green rice in there. It's got dollar bills already cut into it. It's kind of green colored. You can put up a cut up dollar bill if you'd like as well. Black eyed peas, a piece of pyrite, alkanet, alfalfa, and a small piece of magnet. And you're going to write a petition about what type of success you want in the career where you're working at that head office. So, specifics. How much do you want to be grossing? How much do you want to be turning over in quantity? Where would you like to move up to? You need those specifics. And put all of that in a petition. You're going to five-spot that petition with victory oil and with pay me oil. And you're going to fold your own hair into it. Fold always towards you and turn 90 degrees clockwise between each fold. And you put that in the bottle. And you're going to burn candles on that bottle. It's a bottle spell. Between burning candles, if you want to stopper it up and shake it and use it as a shaking bottle, you can. But at least once a week, preferably on a Thursday, you want to burn a green or a blue candle oiled with steady work and pay me. The other thing that you're going to do is get yourself a lucky hand root, because you're in a job where you meet people all the time. You want a large lucky hand root. You want a piece of master root, and you want a piece of peony root. John was mentioning in his reading, trees grow slowly. So I want you working with roots. Roots are going to anchor the work. You are going to tie the master root and peony root into the center of the hand using red thread. And you can oil it with either lucky hand oil. The victory oil would be perfect. You can use the victory oil again. And every client you get, you are going to make a small name paper for them and fix that into the rootlets of the lucky hand onto the hand. You want to tie them onto your fingers, each and every new one, to keep them there. And every one of those name papers should be nailed with attraction and pay me. Always. Steady work, attraction, and pay me. This is developing your client base, and that will constantly grow with your clients. And those two people should be kept where you work for your money, where you work for your business success. I'm going to turn it over to John now because he had some great root work that almost slipped out, and I'm really curious to hear what he has to say. So, John, take it away.
Well, actually, this is a very simple suggestion. Before, what I love for you to do is get some crazy ideas, just crazy ideas, and so I'd like these to come through the dream gate. So keep a journal by your bed, and to get these dreams come through, before you go to sleep, put a dot of King Solomon oil right on your third eye. This is just right between your eyebrows and about an inch up. And then on your temples, on each temple, put a drop of psychic vision oil. Just put it on your finger and dab it on your temples and a dot of King Solomon on your forehead. It was said that King Solomon rubbed his forehead with this oil when he needed a special insight. So put it right there on your forehead, just a dot. Little drop, and then on your temples, a psychic vision oil before you go to sleep. And if you get these dreams and insights, immediately write them down in your journal. Immediately write them down in your journal and wake up. Now, sometimes you write this down, it doesn't make any sense in the morning. One time I wrote, oh, that's a great idea. I wrote it down and it said distilled mayonnaise as biofuel. And I thought, that's dumb. But sometimes I write stuff down and it's really, really good. So yeah, the biofuel wasn't that good, but some of it's really good. And my great-grandmother and my father come through in spirit dreams quite often and teach me things. So do this and cultivate this as a way for spirits to come through the dream gate to teach you things. And I think that you can become a very innovative representative for your company, and this is how you're going to shoot past people that are just doing the safe things, the regular things that everyone else is doing. You can distinguish yourself this way. And of course, there is the root work that my colleagues have suggested too. Always do that as well. And but I want you to come up with things that no one else is doing.
Got it.
Thank you. A great suggestion. Now, I wanted to ask you, the business that you wanted to get into, this is a makeup business, beauty business, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have someone for you that you should be speaking to. I want you to speak to Madame Nadia. Madame Nadia is, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's one of our colleagues at AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. You go to readersandrootworkers.org, look up Madame Nadia. Mm-hmm. Madame Nadia is our glamour queen. She is a glamour consultant, a woman who works in the world of beauty and enchantment, probably what I would say is a modern incarnation or avatar of the enchantress herself. And she also works a lot with women who want to work in that field and have success and wealth and money. So definitely contact her. She works as a consultant specifically, so she will give you strategies that are very specific to your case. And she will be an ideal person to talk to, so definitely talk to her. I'm going to give you the recommendation of also, in addition to all the fantastic work that you've been given, to make yourself a mojo bag, something that you can carry with you, something that can bring you success. Make sure that the mojo bag you work with combines bewitching elements along with money drawing. So sales, especially the type of sales you're in, should have some element of bewitching. So in addition to kind of your traditional money drawing, success stuff, five finger grass, cinnamon, bayberry, those are all good for money drunk. Make sure you include things like catnip and calamus. Give a little bit of compelling there to make yourself a compelling individual, to make yourself bewitching. Put rose petals in there as well to bring beauty. And in addition to oils, things that you can use to on candle work that you can anoint your mojo bag with. Or you can use also as a bath if you make, for example, run yourself a bath or some sort. You can always add a couple drops of oil. Always include bewitching and Look Me Over. These are two that are fantastic for the type of business that you do, fantastic for the field that you're in. You know, let yourself soak in that type of bath, bathe yourself in it, wear it as a scent, right? Look Me Over, Bewitching. Both of these, not traditionally associated with sales, but usually associated with attraction and getting people to pay attention, but it's actually fantastic for getting people to pay up, to pay and spend money on you, and to be drawn to you. It's kind of an unorthodox, if you will, approach, but it is quite successful, and a lot of clients use it in that fashion. So Look Me Over, Bewitching, combine that. John St. Germain said Cleo May. These are all, like, you know, he said kind of wild ideas. This is wild ideas of root work. You go beyond the kind of traditional approach of root work of like, oh, I need, you know, a money jar, or I need to be lighting money drawing with me, or I need to be drawing, you know, steady work oils. No, you need to be working with things that are a little bit different. So this is why you work with Bewitching, Look Me Over, things that are traditional associated with attraction and love and affection and attention towards your business, because your business also straddles that boundary, you know, between beauty and the business world. So definitely take a look at those products. Get yourself a mojo bag. Do what John St. Germain and Aura recommended. And also contact Madame Nadia. Now, the reason I recommended a mojo bag is because you can carry that with you wherever you go. It becomes your personal helper, an ally of yours that you can keep in your pocket or your purse, or pin to the inside of your underwear or bra. As you go and you meet with clients and you meet with your bosses and anyone else who you need to influence in some way, shape, or form, you carry that influence with you. When you're in the business of makeup or the business of beauty, you are yourself representing in many ways the product, right? You're doing, you're selling not necessarily yourself, but you're selling beauty and you're the representation of it itself. So you want to embody that. So you need to spend quite a bit of time doing work that is directed at you, bathing work, adding powders to the various things, oiling. A great way of doing this is powders on your business card, adding a little bit of Look Me Over and Pay Me powders to your business cards and hand them out to clients or hand them out to your bosses. Even before you get hired, you should have some form of business card that you can hand out, right? In addition to getting people's business card, hand yours out, right? And then when if you're handing out a booklet of some sort or a magazine or a catalog, right, make sure that those are all dusted with powders so that when people handle them, when they see them, you're working directly on them. Or if that's fantastic, selling an image, that's exactly what I was looking for. And that's what you need to focus on, right? So building up that image, creating that kind of glamour that you can fascinate people with. So call Madame Nadia to help assist with that. Do the work that we recommended, and I know that you will be successful. The good news is that all of our readings showed quite positive chances of success here. So I do think that you are going to do well. We have reached the end of our time with you. Thank you very much for trusting us with your situation. Call back and let us know how things turn out. I have no doubt that you will be quite successful in what you do. What we're going to do is we're going to have a short break here with some announcements, and then we'll have Papa Newt dive in and lead us on to our next segment.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Candela's Corner, starring Candela Kambisa, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; On Sacred Ground with Kyra Mond, Wednesdays 5 to 7; The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Big thank you to our chief engineer, Troll Towelhead, for those wonderful LMC radio announcements each and every week. And now it's time for our free spell segment with John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. Take it away, John.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, Papa Newt. Whenever you make these big changes in your life, there are obstructions and obstacles. Reality does not like to be changed. It will resist. And I talk about that a lot on the show, so it's always good to do a road opener, and this is a very simple road opener that anybody can put together and do, and these are the ingredients you need. You're going to need a fenugreek seed, allspice, some white mustard seed, dirt from a crossroad, the four corners of a crossroad, and an orange candle, and if you can get it, and you can probably go to any Botanica and get this, Abre Camino. And Abre Camino is, I believe, the original road opener. And what you're going to do is mix all this together. Mix all the herbs with the dirt from a crossroad. And you're going to need about half a cup, a quarter cup to half a cup total ingredient. And I suggest, if you're a man, put some shredded Hajjan root in it. If you're a woman, Queen Elizabeth root, again, shredded, you want to mix this up. Pile it on a white plate. And put an orange candle in it, a small orange candle, one of those little 3-inch candles will do. Write your goals on a piece of paper, and this will be your petition, the changes you wish to increment, and you'll put this under all of that. So you put your list of goals, you'll put the dirt, you'll put the candle in it, and you may dress that candle with road opening oil if you like. It's not necessary, but it never hurts. And then you light the candle, and as it burns, you petition your spirits, you pray your spirits, and for instance, say your goal is for a better job. You say you would pray thusly, you know, great spirit, higher power, I petition you with all humbleness, with an open heart, to remove all obstacles between me and my better job, the job that's waiting there for me. I'm ready for these changes to come into my life. You know, please remove all these obstacles between me and this job that I so desperately need and that I'm ready for. I ask you this with an open heart, ready mind, and all courage. Amen. And let the candle burn. Now, you can burn the candle all at once, or you can burn it in segments, whichever you like. And once it's all burned together, you've got some, you know, you got a pile of dirt and herbs, and you have wax, and you have the petition. You want to gather all this stuff and dispose of it in a ritual manner. And you can take it to a crossroads and bury it, or you can bury it in your backyard, or you can throw it into a fire and let it be consumed, or running water. And that's a nice little road opener that I like to use.
That is fantastic. Can I just mention that fenugreek seed, you know, something we almost never hear, but is so fantastic, such a fantastic addition to this. Is this something that you have tried yourself or recommended to your client? It came to you by spirit, or is this kind of one of those well-worn, well-tried, approaches that you've had?
Fenugreek is in many traditional recipes for a road opener.
I mean this combination here. Your free spell, is this something that came to you by spirit, or is this something you've been prescribing for some time now?
It's a combination of herbs that I have used quite a bit, and I've prescribed it. It's I have a list of herbs that I select from depending on the situation, and this is a very nice selection, and it smells very good. If you use a vigil candle and you put this mixture in the candle, it smells very good as it burns. It smells very, very good. You can also add Solomon seal. You can also add Solomon seal to this mixture to help you with insights along the way. You can put nutmeg. You can put cinnamon in it. These are herbs. Also, you can put in. You don't want to fill it, too full with. There's a whole list of herbs. There's about 50 herbs you can use in a road opener, 50 roots or so. Solomon seal is a good addition to that mixture too. It smells really good when you burn it.
Yeah, these are all really wonderfully fragrant herbs and spices. Allspice berries, for example, Queen Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Those all smell really fantastic.
They surely do. They have an earthy. They smell earthy and they smell good and fragrant. And there are some herbs you burn and they don't smell very good. you want them outside. You want ventilation. But these all smell very fragrant. They smell like they're opening a road. They smell like space is opening around them. I enjoy this, Phil. Yeah, I've recommended this mixture to my clients for a long time.
And Aura, I think I'd love to hear what you have to say. And the approach here is very interesting, right? Because you said you feel like things are opening up around. And that's the sense I get with this kind of mixture. This is a very different type of road opener than, what we would call a blockbuster approach, right? Which is really
right.
Just throw a stick of dynamite into the area and just...
Oh, yeah. You drop
like
a cluster bomb. Yeah.
Right. This is much more of a blessed opening, right?
Micro steps.
I particularly like this, specifically if you're opening. I can tell that you do a whole lot of business work, John, when I look at the herbs
mm-hmm.
you're recommending in
yeah.
road opener, because a lot of them serve dual functions. And root workers, I don't know about you guys, but I usually will prescribe something that addresses the situation and also addresses where someone wants to go at the same time, two for one-ing it. And these ones really, really speak to that. And I like the fact that you've also addressed the nature of a person. So, working with the Queen Elizabeth root or the John the Conqueror, I'd personally go with Angelica because I love the smell of Angelica as well.
Mm-hmm,
and it's got a protective element, but I really love the fragrance, but also that prosperous. You're not just opening a road, you're making sure that it is lined with richness, that it is lined with beauty, that it is lined with comfort.
That is a perfect way of putting it.
Yeah, and it is
beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Angelica and self-heal are really good to add if the person is recovering from a bad situation,
mm-hmm.
like they're going through a divorce or a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
self-heal is amazing for that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're absolutely right about it really being about not just opening the road, but then also lining it up with where you want to go. That's such a good way of putting it. You can really tell in the work or the recommendation that you've made here,
yeah.
that it's not just about opening up that road, but also opening up that specific road, going in that direction of beauty and success.
Yeah, it's like cooking. It really is. That's the difference between, that's where the rubber meets the road with root work is selecting and balancing the herbs and the minerals and the curios and, in my case, the crystals because, you use labradorite and moonstone and garnet together, in something like this to get the vibratory energies together and the spirits together. It really is like cooking.
It is very much like cooking. That's a great analogy. We have mm-hmm. reached the end of our show. Thank you both for your wonderful contribution. Let's have Papa Newt come in and take us out, and then we'll say goodbye. So, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Contraman Ali and Aura LaForest, and thank you, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. But we do invite you to tune in next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Contraman Ali at contramanali.com in Mission Viejo, California, and Aura LaForest at orlaforest.com in Quebec, Canada. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you, Papa Sue. Couldn't do it without you. Special thanks to the wonderful Aura for coming on and taking Miss Kat's place, and also to John St. Germain for being a fantastic guest and for bringing us such a wonderful, wonderful topic. This has been a great show. Thank you both. It wouldn't have been the success that it was without either of you. I look forward to having Miss Kat back next week. You know, we always miss her. Everyone, I hope that you have a fantastic week. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day. Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Bye.